right, guys, welcome to the You Are Covered podcast. This is our final episode of season one. I'm Hannah Lynn Miller, your host, and this is my husband. You couldn't wait to like take that out.
Hi, everybody.
Where he doesn't have an actual like normal water bottle. That is literally what he has been using as a water bottle.
For those that are not watching this, it's a jug. It's a milk jug. It's not that big of a deal. I don't know what she makes a big deal about it.
Oh, I'm glad that you were thinking about the people who are just listening to this podcast and not watching.
Why is it that after you get out of the shower sometimes, like, you're just itchy? Itchy. Gotta get comfortable.
Get nice and cozy. Isn't this cozy?
It's like a cozy setup.
All right, so this episode, John said he wanted to host, and then once he saw the questions that you gave us, he said, never mind, I don't want to host the first part of this episode. So,
Well, yeah, I can't host questions that are directed toward me.
You know? I kind of made that mistake. I was like, guys, ask John all of your questions, and forgot that he was the one hosting, so he was going to ask me questions. But you have some questions for me for later in this episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Should I be nervous?
Yes, you should be definitely nervous. But we're going to have fun.
If you can tell, I am a little sick.
Do you have a jingle?
What?
Do you have like a jingle? Like, you are covered.
No, but I wanted you to come up with one.
I can do that.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm a pretty good singer.
Ready, set, go.
You are covered.
That's what you just said 2 seconds ago. Try again.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's a good jingle.
So you guys asked us some questions.
What are you looking at me for?
Why are you scratching yourself?
I don't know. I got dry skin. I got dry skin. I don't know why. But we're going to be okay.
I do, because you don't use lotion. I tell you. Here's the thing. Okay, we have this basement, and today... Well, I have been saying this. I've reminded him. I'm like, hey, why don't you put some sliders or something at the top of the stair? I really don't want you to go barefoot down in this basement just because it's a hot mess down there, okay? And sure enough, what does he do? He doesn't do it.
That was yesterday, by the way, but yeah.
Was it today? It was yesterday.
It was last night, yeah.
He walks down there barefoot, no socks or anything, and he gets glass in his foot. Did you get the glass out?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good.
You live and you learn.
Or you could listen to your wife and not step on glass.
You live and you learn. Uh-huh. Baby steps.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you guys wrote in a few questions. And these were fun, but they were definitely more on the serious side. So we're going to start off serious. And don't worry, we're going to get to the fun parts too. And... the first question that is pretty serious and also very relevant is, how do pastors take a vacation or practice mental health?
The easy answer is they don't.
Oh my.
I'm just joking.
But it's true.
I don't know. I can't speak for anybody else. I'll speak for me though.
Yeah. What do you do? Well,
It's not really a vacation, but it's two questions. So mental health. Let's talk about mental health.
Okay, mental health.
So that's like a word that, okay, I'm not even going to try to define that word right now because it has a million definitions. I'm going to say that for me, I try to get outside once a week.
Okay.
Because now I live in the city where it's a concrete jungle, and if I don't get outside once a week, I feel very claustrophobic, and then I get frustrated. So... mm-hmm. Getting outside once a week's big for me, and then vacation, I just try to not answer any emails and just leave my phone and then look at it to make sure there's nothing like emergency, and then I don't even respond to anything when I'm on vacation. So sometimes I like turn my phone off if I'm getting a lot of calls.
Yeah. And then talk about like how you do have a day off. Like, what people don't realize is, and you don't think about it, but you, if you go to church, you know this, but then you don't, but pastors work on the weekends. Like, so what do you do? What day do you take off? What do you do to make sure that that's actually a thing?
Usually take Thursdays off during the week, and I just, like I said, I try to get outside and try to just get out in the fresh air. During the winter, I ice fish. During the summer, I play disc golf when I can and fish a little bit. And, yeah, just try to get away from being inside.
Yeah, and you unplug. You make sure no one's...
Yeah, I usually don't answer my phone.
Yeah. Because that's like
a unless you're calling me.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the thing about it. When I have my day off, I get all these calls. And it's usually from this one.
No, it's just, not. It's
like, what are you doing? Take care of me. I'm like, I'm trying to relax here. No, I'm joking.
No, but people don't realize that that's your day off. So a lot of times people will call you about church stuff. Okay, and though, but it's like, voice. It's good. It's okay. Like, that's how it is. And that's why you have to have that boundary.
Mm-hmm. I think just, don't laugh at me. I think, yeah, just finding what works for you. It's different for any pastor, for anybody. But just trying to do healthy, again, getting outside, I think is healthy for anybody. But for me, it's really important that I get outside as much as I can.
Mm-hmm. Someone told me that out of all the helping professions, pastors struggle the most with their mental health. What do you think that is? Like, for every other helping profession, they get better, kind of. They have better mental health. They have better health in general. But for some reason with pastors, it's the opposite.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably because pastors care a lot, so they have a hard time saying no. So that would probably be why, I would say. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to say no when people are in need. It's just, yeah, that would be my guess. In counselors, you guys have like more, I don't know, there's more of a structure for how you do it. You sit people down, you have a session. Pastors, you're not really off. It's kind of a 24/7 job when it needs to be. So that would probably be my answer. It's just the nature of it. You're always trying to help people or be available to help people.
That makes sense. I think, too, you work on holidays. Like, that's another thing that people don't think about is, you know, Easter is a big service. It's not a day off, you know, or like a time to spend with family. And then same with Christmas and, you know, Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. It's a busy time for pastors when everyone else is slowing down.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So trying to take turns. I take turns with another assistant pastor. So, like, I'm preaching on Christmas Eve, and then he's preaching on New Year's Eve. So that way, the other holiday, Christmas, he's able to not have to be there that weekend and visit family. And then the weekend after, I'll be on vacation. So taking turns is important. So.
Love that. It's just good to know about. It's just good to keep in mind for your pastors and his wife and family, because, you know, those are holidays for them, too. Okay. John, do you want your own church someday?
No. I'll leave that there. That's all I need to say. No.
Your gifting is definitely in the line of managing and being able to help people thrive in their job positions, and you have a heart for systems and more on the administrative side.
Yeah. I could go into that question more, but I won't on this podcast.
Maybe in the future.
You can DM me if you want a real answer from me.
Yeah, maybe in the future.
I believe in not one pastor having all the authority. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, we will leave that. This is a really good question. How do you witness or minister to young adults effectively? This person has 3 grandchildren that are 22, 21, and 19, all in the same family. So, like, they're all siblings. And how do you reach, basically, how do you reach that generation? How do you connect with them?
I think what I'm getting at is, how do you witness, share the gospel, to that particular group, but any group, I would just say relationship's key. Mm-hmm. It starts with having a relationship. It starts with having a mutual respect for somebody and then going from there. And I'm a big fan of fideus apologetics. So the layman term there is just sharing your testimony and talking about faith. So you don't have to have an answer for every question they ask. Just talk about what God's done in your life, what God's doing in your life, and talk about how ultimately it's about having faith in what Jesus did on the cross, and you can find common ground within that in any conversation you have. So I think the encouragement is just get to know that person, spend time, love that person, be patient with that person, and let the Holy Spirit work from there. We're not the ones that save anybody. We just, all our job is to do is share the truth in humility and grace and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. So that's my answer. Karen, what's up?
I like what you said too about respect, like mutual respect, because I think that's an age where they are differentiating from their family and they're like making decisions for themselves for the first time. Like,
yeah,
like, you know, job decisions, graduating from college and having real life stuff, you know. So I think that showing that them that mutual respect of like, I know that you're an adult and that you think for yourself. And that's why the personal testimony is so important, too.
Yeah, I think sharing testimony when it comes to sharing, like when it comes to apologetics, defending our faith, or sharing our faith with somebody that hasn't put their trust in Jesus, nobody can argue with a testimony.
Right.
Like, you can argue with rationale, you can argue with evidence, you can argue all these different things, and I just encourage people, it's fun at times, but that's not the point. The point is to share what Jesus did in your life, share how God came and saved us. And the only thing that we ever contribute to salvation is the sin that made it necessary in the first place. So again, it's not about our words. It's about caring for that person, having an honest conversation with that person, and letting the Holy Spirit do the rest. I'm a firm believer. We don't have to read the Bible. It's in there. We make things way more complicated than it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. So that's all the questions that I have.
That's all you... Those are some serious questions. Thank you for those questions. I did my best. The cat was distracting me. This is our cat, Karen, by the way.
Yep, Karen.
I wanted to name it Kevin, but...
It's a girl. She's a girl.
That would have been even funnier.
She's our little calico cat. She's not little. She is very big, and if you call her fat, it's okay, because she is. She's very happy. Very happy and well-fed.
Just like me.
If you are listening on the podcast, you can't see this, but Karen definitely jumped onto our little podcast couch. She's like, hey, guys, I'm going to just hang out with you all for a little bit.
So the first question I have for you is, what do you feed that cat to make it so fat?
Cat food. I don't know. Purina. Perfina? Perfina?
I don't know. She just likes to eat. Whatever it is, she just eats. But she's happy. Cat should be happy.
You have more questions for me? Is this what we're going to go into?
Time to transition. Yes!
We're transitioning, okay? To a light topic.
I have my questions on my phone. Oh, you think these are light questions. All right. First question is, so for those that don't know, Hannah is studying to be a mental health counselor.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody knows, it's one thing to study it, but it's best to live it. And the fact that she's living with a crazy person has been really helpful for her. So that's good. But anyway, funny. So for those that are doing mental health counseling or know anything about it, mm-hmm. this question's for you, Hannah.
Okay.
How long did you have your Frank Parsons poster on your wall as a little girl?
My what?
Your Frank Parsons poster. For those that don't know, Frank Parsons is the founder of modern day psychology. So Hannah should know who Frank Parsons is.
So obviously,
is. Do you not
I know don't
Frank
know
Parsons?
Who that is. No.
All right. So that's disappointing, but that's okay. Yeah. So Frank Parsons was the first one to kind of discover what he did was kind of counseling. He went to Harvard and was a professor and started the whole counseling.
This is what you're trying to do the whole time, aren't you? You're gonna bring up facts that I can't remember because I took theories 5 years ago.
I just asked if you had a Frank Parsons poster.
No, I did not. I didn't. No. Mm-mm.
All right. Well, that's okay. So, second question.
Okay. Second question.
If somebody gifted you with any poster, let's see, dare I say any picture that, you know, wasn't like an original Van Gogh expensive, but just any picture, any poster to put on your office wall, what would it be?
Picasso.
Which picture, Picasso?
The one of the bedroom. Didn't he do the bedroom, or is that Van Gogh?
Wasn't that like about his like mistress that he was cheating on or something?
No.
Didn't he cheat on his wife
like
multiple
times?
Which one?
Picasso, is it Picasso or is
Picasso
it Van Gogh?
Picasso had the picture with the beds.
Yes.
That's Picasso.
That's the one I want.
But didn't he like cheat on his wife like multiple times?
I don't know. I don't know about his love life, but here's why I like this painting a lot. Because I do know he painted it twice, and he never did that with any of his other paintings. And the reason is he loved the simplicity of this bedroom so much that he sent it to his sister. I think he was in the insane asylum.
Was that before or after he cut his ear off?
I think it was after.
That was Van Gogh. Test, got her. She doesn't know. Okay, so come on. I think this happens all the time. I ask a question about art and I end up. So
you know more than you. Okay,
where's Picasso
who
from?
Wins trivia every time that we play it?
Where's Picasso
you,
from?
You win every time.
Where is Picasso from?
I have no idea. Why are you asking me these questions? Can you ask them about myself, me personally?
All right, what inspires you as an artist besides my very chiseled body? What inspires you as an artist?
Oh, my word. I think when I'm feeling inspired, it usually has to do with emotions, and I usually can't put a word to it, and I usually have to just get it out.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what inspires me. And it usually it has to do with buildings, so I don't know why that is a thing.
For those that don't know, emotions is something that women have. That's my definition of emotions. All right, moving on. Next question.
No, he's saying that literally for a reaction. He wants a reaction from all of us. You don't have emotions?
I do. I'm not in touch with them. But that's a...
That's a whole nother topic?
This is why it's great to have a counselor that lives with you. Okay, so interesting. Picasso, is that your favorite artist?
Picasso and Van Gogh, and I get them mixed up.
Juan Miro's my favorite artist.
No one asked you.
Okay. Next question. Have you found the rise of existentialism causing any issues?
I don't like any of these questions.
No. Let me finish.
I thought you were going to actually have some good questions.
This is a good question.
No. This is so dumb.
Can you please let me finish my question? Have you found any problems because of the rise of existentialism, difficulties it caused when it comes to counseling, specifically when it relates to counseling clients as pets?
Their pets?
Their pets.
Why would it relate to their pets? I had an answer, and then you ended it with the pets.
Well, I'm the one that asked the questions. You said I could host. You gave me three questions.
I was so excited about these questions, guys.
These are good.
And he totally failed. Nobody cares.
Well,
I was going to say, though, like, I think that with clients and people who, you know, wasn't brought up with like strict religious backgrounds, which has its plus and negatives, I think a lot of times they do have more existential crises during their lifetime. Like, I think that they think about the, like, what, because they weren't brought up with like, this is the way to go. Like, you know, a lot of people tend to have a little bit more of a like a wishy-washy religious background where they're like, Grandma went to Catholic church, you know?
Yes.
So, but I don't think that relates to their...
But you don't think there's a connection with the pets and the...
Well, I think that they want their pets to go to heaven. Do you believe
that pets go to heaven?
I like to think that.
Karen's not going to heaven.
I think Karen is. My other cat, Pearl, definitely
She's going to die of obesity.
I think Pearl's definitely in hell.
No. Okay. We have some correction here.
I think she is. She was not very nice. I loved her. She loved me, but she was not a very nice cat.
Okay, so DM us at youarecovered.com.
How did we get... Oh, this is where you're trying to go.
Youarecovered.com.
This is what you're trying to do.
No, you're
trying to get back to the killing animals part.
Well, that's a question for later.
Oh, my word. I fell right into that.
Youarecovered.com. DM us. I don't know if that's actually... That's not the place. But DM, whatever. Answer... We want to know, do you believe your pet will be with you in heaven? And then I will respond with some cold, hard truth. Pa-pa, mic drop. All right. Next question. Last question.
Can this be an actual good one?
No,
this is so dumb.
I already made up my questions. You told me I could ask any questions. All right. So, for those that don't know, Hannah Lynn Miller, a.k.a. my wife, is a fashion blogger. She likes fashion. You're into fashion. So, what advice do you have for somebody like me who, what advice do you have that wants to start their own fashion line? Specifically making clothes out of the hide of animals. Deers, foxes, whatever I can find, whatever I can kill. What advice do you have for me as I start this line?
Don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Harsh words. So, quick history lesson. For the whole last, 2000, like long 2000 years, longer than that, before Christ, all those times, you know what was really important? Using hides of animals. Why is it now that that's all of a sudden not good? I have a little bit of a problem with that. I would like an answer.
I don't know why it's not good, but because we have other options that can make the... We don't... One? Okay,
Child labor in China? That's the other option. Okay, let's look at priorities here. Okay, let's not kill a deer, but let's... okay.
No, listen to me. There's other options.
I know you're about sustainable fashion. I had to bring it up. But seriously,
what you're trying to do? You're trying to trap me again? This is all a trap. This was all planned out to be a trap. No, listen to me.
To get serious for a second, Hannah really does appreciate about fashion factories doing the right way and not the practice. A lot of business, even Walmart, you're telling me, is getting into this. It's important. True. So,
having better...
Was I trying to trap you? Yes. But am I serious? Yes. What's worse?
Well, okay. There's other options than that, okay? And we should be...
I can't afford Lululemon. What am I supposed to do? I can't afford Lululemon.
Here's the thing. There's plenty of sweaters that are made sustainably now. You can go ahead and shop at a thrift store. John, listen to me.
Sheep.
No one's freezing anymore. Like, nobody... We have heaters. Yeah, no, you don't need all of that. Yeah, maybe in Alaska, but...
So, for the listener here that does not have the resources, the skill...
To go out and kill
their own animal and make their own clothes.
Why?
Which is the majority of it. Let me finish. I'm host. What do you recommend when it comes to buying sustainable from companies that are doing it right and actually are not...
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm the host. I'm asking you questions.
I really like Everlane. I really like what they're doing.
All right. Welcome to the You Are Covered podcast, hosted today by Hannah Lynn Miller's husband, John Miller. Now, we had some technical difficulties, but we resumed, and we were talking about the importance of sustainable fashion, specifically when it comes to using what God has given us in animal hides, in using animal hides. What's your favorite type of animal hide fashion?
I honestly can't think of anything. Like, I don't really know off the top of my head.
You like a fur? Company. You like fox?
No.
Coats?
Nope.
That's too bad.
I wonder, what about, you know what? I hope that Joe Rogan has seal? Somebody on his podcast that actually does that. Because we don't have any.
No, I listened to a podcast one time and it was about making shoes out of seals.
Seals, yes.
I would love to own a pair of seals. I enjoyed
learning about that. That was very interesting. If it is made sustainably, like where it is keeping in mind the animals and like the elaborate, population of elaborate, the...
What do you mean by keeping in mind of the animals?
Like I think this woman that he had on, I forget her name, but I follow her on Instagram. I don't remember. But she was talking about how seals, it's, you know... somehow the population is okay and is doing well, and so it's okay to use seals' hides for shoes. Like, so you have to keep track of these things.
I just think it's just an important conversation that doesn't happen enough these days, and I think it's good to understand.
Well, definitely not in the fashion industry. They're very much, like, against animal cruelty, you know, hunting, very much against it. Just saying that, I'm a lot more okay about it just because of listening to Joe Rogan, which maybe is not.
Or listen to your husband who actually has hunted and killed animals. Sorry, this is the thing, folks. No. Majority of people who are against animals don't really understand the importance.
I would agree with of, that. They don't understand a lot of.
Do you know what happened if the deer hunting didn't happen? Diseases would spread like crazy because the deer carry lots of diseases. So if you don't keep the population down, the best way to keep a population down in the Midwest is shooting them.
Okay, hunting. This might be a misinformation, but I read
misinformation.
This. Yes. Whoa. Read this somewhere, and it was talking about how the Black Plague happened because there's too many rats.
No, that's not misinformation.
And you know why? It's because they didn't. They killed cats. They were killing too many cats or something like that. And the cats weren't or they didn't want cats because cats were associated with witches. And so they
very well could be true.
And so they didn't have enough cats to kill the rats. And that's why they had this big plague.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? I don't know.
Fact checker here. We'll look it up.
We don't. Maybe someday we will.
I do think the black pet. I think rats. The Black spread,
Panther.
No, the Black Plague, not the Black Panther. The Black Plague was spread by rats, right? I'm pretty sure that's like historically.
Yeah.
That's not up for debate.
But I think something happened to in the what is it called ecosystem, to where they didn't have enough predators of the rats, and that's why there was so much.
So if you want COVID times two,
no,
then prevent deer hunters from hunting. All right, that's last question. That's not
the point. Wow, sorry guys.
I haven't hunted in years, so I'm talking to my brothers. They actually kill things these days. I just kill the occasional bug when Hannah screams. So last question.
I do not need you to kill any bugs.
Yeah, it's not true. All right, are we ready for the next question?
Yes, please. Because you're making stuff up now. All right.
I forgot the last question.
I thought you wrote them down.
I didn't write this one down. Shoot, I forgot the last question. This is a problem. So let me think of something to end the podcast here. So, what was my question? It was a good one. Okay. I'm sorry, I messed up your whole entire show because I can't think.
Yeah, it's over.
My memory's not good.
They're probably never going to listen to another episode again because you just forgot the last question of the last episode of the first season.
That's actually good advice. What's good advice? Don't listen to any of it. Don't listen to the ones with me on it. Just the ones with her on
Keep listening. We love that you listen.
What are we even talking about?
Don't listen
about?
To him.
This is really bad. Why'd you put me on this thing? Okay, what's the next?
Pretty hard being a host, isn't it?
Yeah, when you forget. I didn't remember now my question because I got caught up with animal cruelty. Anyway, so last question. If you had to eat your cat to survive.
No, that is the other, that's the question that you asked last time.
I forgot.
You're like, come up with another one.
All right.
Forgot. Maybe have an actual real conversation, like a real question.
I had three really good questions. No,
those were not
all right, good questions. DM, you know, comments, like, and whatever it's called. Let us know if I had good questions or not. We will let the audience, we will let you decide if I had three good questions.
No, this the last half of this podcast was a joke, like a literal joke.
We'll see what the audience has to say. All right, last question.
Yes.
I can't think of anything. What did you think of the, what did you think of dinner tonight? You see, because folks, we're not in a traditional marriage where the woman always cooks all the food.
That's right. We're not.
I cook once in a while.
No, you do all the cooking. I am not cooking at all.
That's not true. But lately, I've been cooking a lot more.
The last month.
But there was a season. I retired from cooking for a while, and then I'm doing anyway. So what'd you think of the, what'd you think of what I made? What do you think of my cooking? Actually, a general question. What do you think of my cooking?
Okay, you guys need to know this. John and cooking. So when John cooks consistently.
Well, that's a little there, loaded. Such a loaded
there's
statement.
A lot of butter.
Yes.
So we are always out of butter. Always. Like, you know, you think that we're having a hamburger and we wouldn't be out of butter because of that. No, we're definitely out of butter. Somehow he used it in the hamburger. That it gives you a glimpse into what kind of cooking he does.
If I was a butter salesman, you know what my slogan would be?
What?
Butter, comma. The one and only good thing the French contributed to society. Yeah.
Why is it? That's just such a hillbilly thing to say.
What? How's that hillbilly?
And you know what? That meal that you made me was very hillbilly.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I just feel like that's such a weird food. What is it called again? So it's basically, it's white bread with like a hamburger patty.
Not hillbilly. That's a diner all across America.
And then like sandwich or like some kind of cheese on it.
Yeah. Cheddar cheese, white bread, butter, and a hamburger right in the middle. It's a Frisco.
I'm just happy that someone makes me food. So that's where I'm at. And you are a pretty good cook. You just don't really care about health and healthy things. So that's the only thing. You're a great cook. You're so good at it.
So what do you mean? You mean it so I don't cook healthy? That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 100% true.
Like, I will bring home like grain-filled bread that like makes you feel good after you eat it because
she brings
it gives
some rabbit food
energy.
Rabbit food.
And then he goes and gets white bread, like literal white bread, like stuff that you would eat in grade school in the 90s. Like it's so gross.
You know why I get white bread? Because I like to go to the grocery store every 2 weeks and not every 3 days.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that's very real. It's mostly because it's not real bread.
Okay, comment, like, share, whatever you do, listeners, let us know your opinion. Do you like white bread or are you against it? So, this is the thing. I think we're running out of time. If you are listening to the podcast, if this is the first time you stumbled upon the podcast, I apologize that you picked this one. However, give it a second shot when I'm not hosting. And I only get to do this once a year. That's the agreement. I get to host a podcast once a year.
Yes.
So be on the outlook. Look out. Not outlook. What am I?
Outlook. Are you like writing some kind of statement or paper? Or
no.
Email?
Nope.
Okay.
Be on the lookout. Be on the lookout for another podcast in a year that I host. But that's not important. So check out You Are Covered at youarecovered.com/
No, it's youarecoveredpodcast.com.
Youarecoveredpodcast.com at the one and only Hannah Lynn against animal cruelty.
What? That's
Backlash.
What?
America. All right. So Now that we've finished this podcast, please let us know any questions that you would like to be asked to Hannah Lynn at some point. We will do this again. I don't host all the time, but I, you know, do podcasts with her. And let us know what you think. And it's a good time. We care about you as listeners. I actually don't know any of you, so I really don't care about you. But I'm acting like I do. So if you have any questions, please let us know. And anything to close out? And the other thing, too. All right, let me say this because I have the mic.
You've had the mic the whole time.
Yeah, because I got to host this time. So listen up. Very important. It's a pet peeve of mine. You ready? John Miller's pet peeve. You know when you went to middle school, grade school, grammar school, for those that call it grammar school?
Who does that?
I don't know. I've heard of it. Whatever school, and your teacher said there's no such thing as a bad question. It's not true. There are 100% things as bad questions. So ask good questions. If you ask a bad question, we're not going to ask it. But you can ask whatever you want, and then we will sift through what happens on the Life Podcast. How did I do? Was this a good host?
I think you have to work on your questions.
Okay.
You're supposed to try and make your guest feel comfortable and highlighted, not trapped.
How am I supposed to highlight you? I don't know any of these people.
What?
How am I supposed to highlight a guest? I don't know these people.
Me! I was the guest. You were the host. Dum-dum.
Okay, listeners, sorry.
Dying.
It's okay. I'll make sure you feel highlighted later on. All right, so thank you for listening. So you know, we like to have fun. We like to have a good time. So I will stop talking because I feel like I already ruined this thing. So why don't you put it?
Yeah, I'm just
on
waiting for you to stop talking so I can end this episode.
I'm putting the mic down.
All right, guys. So you love listening to John Miller, and so I'm so glad that he came on the podcast.
Are you actually glad I came?
No, sometimes I really regret it. Like halfway through these episodes, I'm like, why did we do this? But we did it. That's great. And hey, I just want to thank you so much for joining us for our first season on the You Are Covered podcast. It's a podcast about theology, fashion, and therapy. I am so thankful. This has been a blast.
We talked about all three of those, didn't we?
We did. In your trapping questions.
I don't trap. Never trapped. Hunt.
Okay. Well, you hunt me down on that one, and you got me. I hope that you have a great holiday with your family, and I will see you next season. We are going to start off strong after the holidays, and make sure that in the meantime you are following us on social media platforms, You Are Covered Podcast, and also on Spotify and iTunes.
All right, see you next time, You Are Covered listeners. Have a good Christmas.
See you in the next season.